Let's read together Daniel chapter 6. In this well-known chapter of the Bible, we have Daniel delivered from the lion's den. Daniel chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault, because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel, unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, "King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions." Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. So they answered and said before the king, "That Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day." And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed." So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him, and also, O king, I have done no wrong before you." Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote, "To all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Daniel chapter 6, with some background notes. We saw in Daniel chapter 5 that the Babylonian Empire fell to the Medes and the Persians in 539 BC. And we read in Daniel chapter 5, verse 31, the last verse of that chapter, that Darius the Mede received the kingdom being about 62 years old. Now, Darius the Mede has not yet been documented from extra-biblical sources, but most likely he was a high-ranking official under Cyrus, the Persian emperor, and ruled over the newly acquired Babylonian territory for a short while. However, the last verse of Daniel chapter 6 leaves open the possibility that Darius the Mede may actually be another name for Cyrus the Persian, because Daniel 6:28 may be translated as follows. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius, even the reign of Cyrus the Persian. In any case, Daniel distinguished himself in the Persian Empire. He was made one of the top three officials in the entire kingdom, consisting of 120 different provinces, from India to Ethiopia, as we learn in the book of Esther. The Persian Empire, by the way, was the largest empire up to this point in the history of the world. And Daniel was about to be put in charge of the whole empire, and this led to jealousy on the part of the other officials. What a great testimony Daniel has, as we see in verse 5. Then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel." Could this be said of us if some unbelievers were looking to find a fault in our lives? Or would they be able to say that we cheated, or were unethical, or had some other moral flaw? Notice how the officials lie in verses 6 and 7. Certainly all the officials of the kingdom had not been consulted. Daniel had not been consulted. Once the king signed the decree, it became a law of the Medes and the Persians, which could not be revoked even by the king himself. We use the expression, "it's a law of the Medes and Persians," even today, in reference to something that can't be changed. By the way, Daniel was in his 80s when he was thrown into the lion's den. Did you realize that? He was taken as a captive in 605 BC when he was only a teenager. The Medes and Persians took over Babylon in 539 BC. So Daniel was in his 80s. So your Sunday school pictures with Daniel being a teenager in the lion's den are not exactly historically correct. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for Daniel chapter 6. Doctrinal point number one, Daniel in the lion's den has practical lessons for the present. Daniel in the lion's den has practical lessons for the present. The lion's den was some kind of cave that could be sealed with a large stone, as we see in verse 17. Daniel's ordeal in the lion's den certainly has a number of lessons and teaching for believers today. First and foremost, of course, is that God can deliver us from the lion's den. Whatever threat the enemy of our souls comes up with, including the threat of physical death, the Lord can deliver us from the lion's den if he so chooses. The lions here certainly picture Satan, as we read in 1 Peter 5:8. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." 1 Peter 5:8. But God can shut the lion's mouths and deliver us unscathed from any lion's den that we've been thrown into by the opposition. Even if the Lord chooses not to deliver us physically from the lion's den, he will be with us in the lion's den, as he was with the faithful three in the fiery furnace. Notice that Daniel says in verse 22, "My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouths." This may indeed have been the angel of the Lord, that is, the Lord himself, who was also with the faithful three in the fiery furnace, as we've seen. Another lesson for believers that we see from this account is Daniel's reaction to the edict of the king. We know that Daniel had a good relationship with the king. Daniel certainly could have gone to Darius and expose the plot of the other commissioners, and that would not have been wrong. But he chose to leave it totally in the Lord's hands. Sometimes that definitely is the best policy. Don't waste time defending yourself. Just continue to do the right thing and leave the situation in God's hands. Now notice how Daniel continued to pray three times a day facing toward Jerusalem, as his practice had been. This was Acts 5:29 in operation. even before it was written. We ought to obey God rather than men. Daniel could have prayed in secret, but Daniel knew these unscrupulous commissioners would eventually find some way to catch him. Better to show courage and let God handle the situation. And God did handle the situation. Before it was all over, the plot of the commissioners backfired, and they were thrown into the lion's den. And that's certainly another lesson for us to appreciate. God has ways to make the enemy's strategy backfire. Remember the story of Esther and how the strategy of wicked Haman backfired, and he was hung on the very gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. God can cause the strategy of the opposition to backfire today as well. Daniel in the lion's den has practical lessons for the present. Doctrinal point number two, Daniel in the lion's den has prophetic implications for the future. Daniel in the lion's den has prophetic implications for the future. We've mentioned before that every chapter in Daniel is prophetic. Even in the chapters that are not prophetic visions, there are prophetic implications. Here in Daniel chapter 6, with Daniel in the lion's den, we have a prophetic glimpse of the coming tribulation period, when the godly remnant of restored Israel will go through a lion's den experience. The Roman beast of the end times, with the number 666, will be deified, as Darius was in Daniel's time. The anti-Semitism that we see here on the part of the commissioners in Daniel chapter 6 will certainly intensify as we approach the end times, especially as it is directed towards the godly remnant of restored Israel in the future. Another prophetic implication in this chapter, which is hard to miss, is Daniel as a spiritual picture of Christ. Daniel, who was innocent of any wrongdoing, was thrown into the lion's den and considered as good as dead, and the stone was rolled over the opening of the cave and sealed. In the same way, our Lord, who was sinless, was thrown into the lion's den, as it were, when he was crucified, and then considered dead forever by his enemies as the stone was rolled into place to seal the tomb. But just as Daniel was brought alive out of the lion's den, so our Lord was resurrected and came out of the tomb alive forevermore. Daniel in the lion's den has prophetic implications for the future. Now, what about practical application for Daniel chapter 6? Be a den of Daniels. Be a den of Daniels. Now, this practical application is for every evangelical church or fellowship group. When we go out into the world, it is like going into the lion's den. But when an unbeliever visits our church or fellowship group, it should be for them like walking into a den of Daniels. They should realize that this is no mere social club, but a group of committed, Bible-believing, courageous, righteous Christians who love the Lord and can defend the faith. Well, how are we doing? Be a den of Daniels.